time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, where it's hot. But from the studios here, freedomsphoenix.com, it's quite nice. Thank you. Jet Lacy on the board. And, you know, we're going to have Jet Lacy's going to get his own show here pretty quick. The boy is multi-talented. And what we'll have something coming out of here. We'll be talking about that later. And, you know, where I might be restrained, you know, by coming into affiliates around the country, he won't. So we'll have some fun with that. Now, what we wanted to do in this first short segment here is I wanted you also to get to know the people. You know, the people, there's a culture of life here. There's a culture of, well, probably what's a better word, survival. You know, let's say a culture of, you know, we want to be on the other end of this. You know, because a lot of times I've been saying over the years, can we hurry up and get to a police state so we can leave? And what I mean by that is, until you have experienced this collectivism, whatever ism they're going to have in there, you know, that reminds me, there was a 1940s, 50s cartoon that they had. Some of you probably have seen it. You know, I'll get it up for the show. You go to the archives, you go to freedomsphoenix.com, freedoms with an S, phoenix.com, and you look for this show's archive for today, and I'll get a link. Remind me, Jet, we'll do that. A link to this cartoon, and it was about the snake oil salesman selling isms. Yeah, step right up, get your ism here, you know, and then, of course, you have the debate that goes back and forth between what America is really about. Well, we forgot that lesson. What we want to do here is provide an opportunity for you to be able to communicate and get to know this next generation, because there definitely is a gap. And when they talk about the generation gap, you know, I never knew what that meant until I actually experienced it over the last couple of years. I'm 48 years old. I deal primarily with people that are in their 20s. I mean, there's a lot of us, you know, we range all over the place, older than me, younger, but the big hump of activity down here at the Freedoms Phoenix Workshop, and it's a big workshop. We have like 3,600 square feet, a little warehouse kind of area. We got all kinds of stuff going on. You know, we have screen printing getting ready. We're just started doing that. We have printing press, the ABDIC 360 we've had since 1994. We have a video studio. We have an audio studio. We have sign production. We got internet, Wi-Fi, phone lines. Man, they are rocking and rolling and whatnot. And the thing is these young guys come in here and just do their own thing. You know, a lot of you guys probably have heard on, if you're on YouTube at all, the younger crowd, you know who 4409 is. Shelton, the boy, be working. And there's quality video. And the thing is that the lamestream media, the media that's so last century, they are so into this this fluff. I'll give you an idea. You had Jon Stewart is a comedian that has, it's called The Daily Show on cable, the Comedy Central. He has every night, or Monday through Thursday, he and then after him, Stephen Colbert. And they kept the sanity of millions of people. They were amazing what they were able to accomplish with faux news, you know, with news that wasn't quite, you know, it was the truth in comedy. And when we come back, I want you to be introduced to a lot of these people. And so you get to know them, and we'll talk about them, so you'll see who's really going to be on the front lines in this revolution. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you?
The Ernest Hancock Show.
Declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, Monday through Friday, 11 to 1 p.m. Central Time. Now, here at the Freedoms Phoenix Studios, Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, we have a community, a culture, a family. I mean, it's just a bunch of us all, and a lot of the people that come in and work, they have parents or spouses and children, and sometimes we have parties, and they come down, and they're kind of the representative doing their thing for the movement. And there is a movement. But, you know, which movement is it? Now, I'm old enough to remember as I started to get involved and aware, you know, I didn't, like, join any collective or anything. I just, you know, I just started paying attention and reading and getting a different perspective. And I tell you, it was these dang libertarians, man. They had an answer for everything. Very annoying to people in politics. You got an answer for everything, as if that was a bad thing, you know. So what happened was we just started to grow. I mean, we have people that have been doing this for 20 years together. But we don't focus on, we don't get all obsessed with it like some people do. Some of us have more time to devote to this than others. But what we do is we have a common perspective. And we're just sharing that with you. And, you know, some of the guys are always coming in and out of here. Some of them, you know, come in today. You know, a lot of them, they're here late last night. They don't get up early. You know, these are 20-somethings, you know, and they got jobs. And a lot of them work at night. And they do. So if they come by sometime, we'll drag one of them in here and let you introduce them one at a time. Over the weeks and months that come, you'll start to get to know the people here. And they always have projects. You know, we've been on radio, national radio shows all over on each one of our different projects that we do. Is always somebody wants to talk to us about something. Well, you get first crack, so you're going to be the most informed, on the leading edge, the tip of the spear of this revolution. Well, one of those people that we really had and it maintained our sanity was Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert on Comedy Central. And I agree with everything they say on their issues on everything, but I tell you, you know, for giving us the faux news, it was more of the news. My children, think about it. 19 to 23 now. During high school, all their friends going, I got two boys and two girls. So I had all kinds of young men and women all over my house. There was estrogen, testosterone, just oozing all over the walls. I mean, it was the most entertaining, amazing thing. We're taking a break now as we get starting to move out. But what happened was they'd be watching Saturday Night Live or Mad TV or Jon Stewart and so on. You know, that's where they got their news. It was fun. It was comedy sketches. And you could get in 1 week, they would have one comedy sketch that took 2 minutes, and it was the most accurate of anything else. I'm going, you know, that's it right there. Go ahead. That, you know, I could do no better. And they enjoyed it. So they got an irreverence for all this stuff anyway. Well, Jon Stewart, I remember one time he did a spot to where they're doing all about the war. You're on Fox News. They have, you know, the F-15s coming across the screen with the different graphics and bombs blowing up, and it's rock music, and it's big images, and it's fast-paced, boom, 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 scene changes and so on. And when he got to the end of it, you know, all of a sudden it goes back to him and his face, and he's sitting there wide-eyed staring at the camera like he's scared. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's what's happening. It's all just, you know, fluff. You go to freedomsphoenix.com and you'll see there is an enormous amount of, you know, there is a lot of information there. There's a lot of information, and it is there to make sure that you are aware of stuff. We don't try and flash it. We don't try and fluff it. We don't try and make it more than it needs to be. It's just information so you can see what's going on. What's going on is there's enough for people to get ready. Let me tell you what I wanted to share with you in this segment. Last night, my daughter and her new husband, they took us to Benihana's. First time I've been to Benihana's. That was kind of fun. I mean, I've always wanted to go, and I heard about it. Yeah, whatever. And just not a big giant fan of somebody flinging knives in my face and throwing hot grease on me. But, you know, I thought it might be fun. We go. A sitting across from us, and it's a process they go through. You order, and they bring out the stuff, and then it's kind of entertainment. And if you're talking with people, they kind of be quiet and do their thing. If not, you know, they're entertainment and so on. So the chef did a great job, and it was fun. Sitting across from us, you know, before they get there, there's probably a good 20 minutes while they're getting everything ready somewhere else, and you're ordering and talking. You're at tables of eight. Well, at this particular table of eight, there's four of us, two blank seats, and sitting across from us was a middle-aged couple. They're probably early 40s. Excuse me. What happened was we just kind of introduced ourselves. Hi, you know, my name's so-and-so, is my family, and, you know, is who we are and what's going on. They introduced themselves, and they had an accent. Well, the accent, you know, I could tell from, you know, just some other friends that I had was Spanish. Now, they were from Mexico, and he has a kind of a Mexican accent, but like you have different dialects and, you know, different parts of the country here in the United States. You can tell somebody's from Texas, you know, or from the South, or they're from Appalachia or something like that. You can tell the same thing happens out of Mexico. Well, these people were very Caucasian. Now, what a lot of people don't know, in Mexico, we have a writer's name is Ricardo Valenzuela. He's one of our writers on Freedom's Phoenix, and he doesn't write often, but he always has some good stuff. What happened is he was one of the youngest branch managers of a chain of banks in Mexico. One day, his family owns it. He had grandfather owned large ranches, all this kind of stuff. They are, you know, the elite. Shows up to work one day. The Mexican army's there saying, your services are no longer required. Whoa. So this is the 80s. He's like, oh, this sucks. So he nationalized the bank. You know, it's the government's now. It's kind of like, you know, General Motors manager showing up, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, you work for our political appointee over here. You know, I mean, you know, this is where we're going. So he left, came up to Tucson, became a citizen. Now, he had gone to George Mason University, and they have a university called Monterey University in Mexico and so on. These are very libertarian Austrian economics, Mises Institute type institutions where you learn the truth about the economy and how things really work. Well, he comes up and he starts writing, and he writes for us, and a lot of his stuff is in Spanish. What happens is you have the libertarian intellectuals, and they call them liberals. Now, for us, they say, oh, you're just a liberal. Huh? Which kind? You know, a classical liberal is, you know, libertarian. I mean, that's where it comes from. You know, libertarian, it's liberty, it's, you know, a classical liberal. Now, of course, just like they bastardized the word conservative, they've done the same thing to liberal. I mean, it's just a game they play. It's a George Orwell, you know, you just change terms. I mean, it's just amazing what happens. So it's up to them. With the internet, we're able to hold on to definitions a lot better now. But you can't swing a dead cat without having a politician somewhere telling you how libertarian they are. And here in Arizona, every time they do that, we make sure we run somebody against them. As, oh, you want to guarantee you got a libertarian run against you? Go ahead and say how libertarian you are, and we'll do the comparison. Well, what happened, Ricardo starts writing. He becomes one of the most popular writers. The downloads, and you look on the internet, have various tools that you can see where they're coming from. What happens is it's all Central and South America. You know, Mexico and so on. These people are, you know, thirsty for a libertarian, liberty, freedom, small government, government's the problem message in Spanish. On Freedom's Phoenix, when you go and you do a search for Ricardo Valenzuela, his articles will come up. On the top right of our page, on the navigation bar, you'll see translate. And you just translate it from Spanish to English and English to Spanish. So we have a lot of Spanish-speaking readers of our site that hit a translate button. It goes into Spanish. And we'll be adding other languages. You know, we could do Chinese, Japanese, Russian, German. It's a Google tool. Can you imagine this? I mean, this is amazing. Now, what the couple that we had dinner with, she works at Wells Fargo. Now, they had moved from Mexico to Portland, Oregon, and then down here. Now, the gentleman, he is a translator for a company that has, you know, like when CEOs talk to other CEOs in other countries, you know, they have teams of translators that sit there and, you know, go over and communicate for them. And so that's what he does. So we had a lot of interesting conversations. Now, what I could tell from their appearance, now, it was something that Ricardo told me. There is an elite class, you know, old from the old Spanish families that, you know, back in the day when they conquered Mexico and came in, you know, we're in charge now. You know, from that time, a lot of those bloodlines have remained pure. And it's kind of like this elite. You'll have like 5% of Mexico's population is this European descent. And then you have the more mixed races or the tribes that are there that have a different appearance. They're more native. So you'd be like here, you have Native Americans and, I don't know, Irish or whatever. I mean, we're such a hodgepodge, it doesn't even apply here. But you have, in Mexico, you have this minority that controls everything. They are the ones. Now, that's where the social justice thing comes in, where they have these people rise up against the man that's oppressing them. Well, this is exactly what you got to be careful of here, because I'll tell you what happens. You'll have the masses will come up against the man. They go up and with their guns and they charge and they go, we're in charge now. Now you got a bunch of peasants with guns in charge. Yay. Guess what happens? A kleptocracy. You have exactly what's going on in Mexico right now. You have. I'll give you an example. My wife's in real estate, and when you there was a really hot market in Mexico, and it's for doing sales there, and you find out some things. The notary public, like they have, you have to sign a legal document, transfer titles. Well, guess what? That title is hereditary. It transfers down. It's a bloodline thing. Might as well be a king. And they charge ungodly amounts for this stuff. You know, we're going into the same kind of thing, and we need to have a culture to resist that. How are we doing that? Who's going to do it? Well, we're trying, and we're introducing ourselves to you. We want you to join us. We're going to have some fun. And you can declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, a little more in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Monday through Friday, 11 to 1 p.m. Now, the one thing I wanted to get into before, after the bottom of the hour, I'm going to introduce you to a gentleman called, his name is Adam Kokesh, and I'm going to tell you that story and play a speech for you and give you an idea of the tip of the spear of this revolution. It's coming. And I'm very happy. I mean, you should feel fortunate that you're getting a behind-the-scenes, inside look at this coming. Because when we had the revolution going on surrounding Ron Paul over the last couple of years, it was not understood by, you know, a lot of people. Certainly not anyone over 35, you know, as much as the young people, because they communicated so much with each other directly. And that's just the way it is. You know, get used to it. That's what happened. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the opportunity to make sure that you are informed and share with your contacts and your friends. You're plugged into the revolution. Now, you can take that for what it is, but it's here, and there's not a whole lot people can do about it other than, you know, you can fight for it or you can fight against it. You know, because here it comes. It's inevitable. Now, there was a, you know, one thing I wanted to mention, in one of the breaks, there was a freeze-dried meats commercial. I got some of that stuff years ago at a gun show one time. That stuff is great. You know, you rehydrate that stuff. It's like, I don't know if it's the same company, but I mean, the concept was way better than I thought it was going to be. And I had them on the air, and we talked about it and so on. Well, all of a sudden, now, because all the food storage that you do is in, you know, it's usually some kind of carbs or starch or something like that. Hey, man, can I have some bacon? I mean, can I have some, you know, some pork chops? Can I have some meat? You know, and you're going to need that. Well, that's one reason why we got eggs, chickens. This is what we're doing. This culture of life, of survival here, that I want to share with you kind of segues from that. And what we've done is we have learned how to raise chickens. We go, there's a farmer's market kind of thing, and they got their co-ops, and, you know, it's the greens and the left and then some of the progressive kind of stuff, and they got their first Friday deal and everything. And because of the anti-war movement and such, a lot of these guys know each other. And guess who's being brought over to where? You know, does a freedom-oriented, you know, libertarian, conservative kind of, you know, go liberal and all of a sudden want the government to fix it for them? Or does a, you know, more government worship collectivist status come to the realization that, you know, this isn't working, it's not doing what we promised, and start coming over our way? You know, so our association with these guys, we seek it out. We look for it. I did a radio show for years on the Air America affiliate here in Phoenix, the most popular Air America affiliate in the nation. Why? It was a new field to plow. I mean, you know, as are you. You know, this is, you know, we share this widely because when you have the truth, you know, you're not afraid to share it with anyone. You're not afraid of what they got to say. A lot of times, if you're very concerned about what someone else has to talk about, that they're, you know, offensive to you, it's because they're challenging your positions and you're not able to defend them. You know, that's the problem. You know, we're trying to help people argue the case for freedom. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You know, it's not really more complicated than that. So we're going to keep introducing this week. We wanted to make sure we're getting all the little dials right and little switches and everything and so on. And, you know, we're getting there. You know, we're making progress. You know, the one thing that we're really missing in the show is the board op mic. And we'll get that in there. You get some Jet Lacy because this guy is going to entertain us. We're going to have some fun with when we get him his show. Now, what happened in the previous segment, we were talking about Adam Kokesh is coming on and so on, and I want to make sure you know he's going on Liberty Watch with Judge Napolitano, and that's, you know, it's a Fox thing, Freedom Watch, and Freedom Watch is, Judge Napolitano is, I don't think he's really on Fox, the network or something, right? It's just like an internet thing, you know, and I'm like, you know, what up with that? So they may try and put it on, but it was interesting that they would have this kind of relationship on the internet. And the reason was because whenever Dr. Paul came on Fox, a rating shot up through the roof. And they went, wow. Well, we got to try and get some of that without, you know, I don't know, without, you know, changing our audience or offending them or something. I don't, you know, it's all business. It always comes down to money. You know, and the one thing that the networks didn't anticipate that we did, we knew when they were start going to YouTube, they just could do video on the internet, that the quality of the content was going to overwhelm them, you know, more than dogs riding skateboards. I mean, there's going to be actual news, people there, you know, it's not going to be spun, it's going to be raw, and that's what people wanted. They wanted the truth. Well, you know, is this fair and balanced? What truth? Probably not. So what has happened is you have these young people that are there engaging, you know, the system and having their perspective. But what they didn't count on from the networks and so on was that, you know, well, we got these great graphics and it comes zooming in and it's spinning and it's all kinds of wonderful and pretty and ooh, and it's got your emotions going and you're up, and then we show the right, you know, bit of leg or blood or cleavage or whatever it is they're doing to try and get your attention. And hundreds of thousands, millions of people are watching these YouTubes and getting there, and they can't even keep up with, you know, what's going into the minds of the very people they're trying to control. They just can't, they can't grasp it. I mean, how would you do that? You know, well, there is a way, and we'll talk about that. The NSA, we did a story on this, and we'll talk about the three. Let me write this down, make sure we get to it. The 3D hologram. And, you know, it was fascinating. I'd read this story, and after I read it, I went back to reference it again to go get it, and it was taken down. You know, how do you gauge this atmosphere out here? How do you do that? Well, there's a way to do it, and they're trying, and they want to get in our head. Well, we'll talk about more when we come back in the next segment, and I'll introduce you to Adam Kokesh, one of the spears in
this.
You're
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Back in the saddle again here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. And that's probably daylight savings. Here, we're in Arizona. We never change. You know, everybody changes around us. Sometimes we're 3 hours different, 2 hours different, same as California, not the same as California. It's very annoying. The rest of you guys should do that. You know, the one thing that I wanted to do is make sure you got introduced to a gentleman. He's going on Judge Napolitano's Fox Internet show, Freedom Watch, today. And we'll have it up on Freedom's Phoenix after and make sure you got that archived. But the thing is that there a lot of people don't know about this, and it's just representative of a much larger thing. And I want to share this story with you before we play this clip. Now, it's a speech. It's over 9 minutes. So, but it's so entertaining. I mean, you'll be amazed. You'll get chills. You'll start bawling. I mean, seriously. And I really encourage you to listen to this because it's the next generation. Somebody that has experienced what the life and death of being sent as a Marine over to Fallujah, coming back going, oh, heck no, the enemy's not over there. And he's very articulate, and he's been, we've given him a lot of support because we know what he represents. He represents the generation that you're asking to pay for all this spending that you've done. And, matter of fact, asking, you're going to make them. You're going to put a gun to their forehead, and you're going to say, oh, I'm sorry, when you were born, you owed this much, and then, oh, by the way, we piled on this much more while you were growing up, and, oh, now you're in the workforce, and you got your $300,000 on you. You know, no. Oh, and by the way, we want you to go fight, you know, for the empire. No. You know, and, oh, we want you to go kill all these people and die. And do, you know, it's like the logic of these, wow. And they go, yeah, but Islamofascism. And, you know, when you go over and you experience and you talk to these people, and especially the one thing with the Iran Twitter thing and so on, what was happening is no matter how much you try and control that, the CIA gets involved, the military, the propaganda. Heck, they got tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars in budget just for propaganda and dissent support or not or take. All that. It doesn't matter when you got 15-year-olds communicating directly with each other with the translator buttons on Google to be able to tell you what's happened right then when they take a picture or a video from their cell phone from the rim of the smoking crater of the car bomb that just went off and tell you what really happened. How do you compete with that? They can't. The truth always leaks out between the fist of propaganda. It always does. Always has. It just takes longer. Well, now it's not taking that long anymore. Man, it's just going. So what are you going to do about it? Well, first thing you need to do is you need to understand it. Now, this gentleman, he was one of the listed speakers. He was Iraq Veterans Against the War. They had a revolution march last July, you know, like a year ago, in Washington, D.C., or Dr. Paul spoke. And he was one of the last speakers. And I was an MC there, along with Gary Franchi from Restore the Republic. And he and I did a skit, and we had fun. If you put my Ernest Hancock Revolution March up there, you'll see what we did, and we had some fun. Now, what happened was, we had Michael Scherer was a CIA guy, and he went long. I mean, he really went long, and we're getting a hook out on him, man. I mean, you know, come on, he's very interesting, but you know, these guys they're ready to rock and roll. Ron Paul was in the house, and they wanted it. And you had Adam Kokesh, then Chuck Baldwin, and then Ron Paul to speak. And they were trying to get me to cut Adam's speech, but I knew better because I had read it and a couple nights before. And I'm like, wow, I know what impact this is going to have. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people in my face, man. You're cutting into Dr. Paul. But we worked it out with Chuck Baldwin. He cut a little bit in exchange for, you know, some other attention and being able to stand up on the stage when Ron came and he shook hands and so on. So it all worked out. Everybody's happy. He got this speech and it launched him into the public purview where he's on Judge Napolitano today. He's running for Congress in New Mexico. And he has an entire generation, the young of this love-illusion, has a focal point. Now, I want you to hear this, and you will understand why.
Camp in San Diego, and when I was dodging mortars in Fallujah, I could not have imagined that one day I would share a stage with such renowned speakers. But to march shoulder to shoulder and to stand in solidarity with you is a far greater honor. It has been said that when in the course of human events, an oppression so revolts its subjects that it becomes necessary to alter or abolish the means of that tyranny. Is it that time when our Bill of Rights is defiled every day? When our adventures abroad threaten our security at home? When the Federal Reserve keeps our free nation enslaved by debt? When the people of the world tremble under the thumb of corporate imperialism? And now, our nation is drifting dangerously from freedom to fascism. Yeah. So I have to ask, is it time? Yeah. is now. The threat is clear. The bands of tyranny are tightening around America, and it is our duty to resist. As empowered patriots, let us take stock of our commitment to the ideals upon which this country was founded. America without her freedoms is like a body without a soul. The challenge before the freedom movement is no less than to bring about a revolution of values, inspire a renaissance of American politics, and breathe new life into the tortured body of our nation. We will meet that challenge with courage and love, and as always, we the people will prevail! To rally the troops of the Revolutionary Army in the winter of 1776, Thomas Paine said, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. As Iraq veterans against the war, we are resisting an occupation we once risked our lives for. We swore to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, but we found out the hard way that the greatest enemies of the Constitution are not to be found in the sands of some far-off land, but rather right here at home! We are your new winter soldiers, and we are still defending America. We bring the values, skills, and commitment that make us warriors to the fight before us today. We are working to end the war by strategically withdrawing our material support and inspiring others to do the same. By advocating for veterans, we are empowering soldiers to become successful civilians. With Truth in Recruiting, we are inspiring a generation of young Americans to find a better way to serve their country than dying for empire. And by supporting those who are actively resisting, we inspire further resistance and ensure that soldiers still have the right, as is their duty, to disobey illegal orders. During the siege of Fallujah, a young Lance Corporal was shot through the side of his flak jacket in a firefight to the west of the city. The bullet hit an artery near his spine. My team was called to help get him to the field hospital at Camp Decatur. He was in a stretcher in the Humvee in front of me, and I watched as the corpsman treated the external wounds in a frightened, hurried panic as the dust from the hot road swirled around us. When we got there, I carried him in as he moaned and writhed in pain, barely conscious. He flailed his arm off the stretcher, and I put it back by his side, and I told him, "Don't worry, you made it. You're going to be okay." But he died only minutes later from the internal bleeding. I have to live with that memory every day, but I have learned from it. I will not tell you that the band-aids applied by Democrats and Republicans will heal us. I will not pretend that everything is just going to be okay while we are bled dry by tyrants. And if it takes the last full measure of devotion, I will not allow the same fate to befall this country. This young movement is getting past the external wounds to the greater evils plaguing this nation. We know that the greatest threat to American security is the current corruption of our government. No politician has ever ended a war. Civil rights were won in this country not by any legislator, but by a movement. I have great hope for America, but it comes not from any election. No, my hope comes from you. Our tragic love affair with the state has led us to put far too much trust in a government that we thought could improve our lives, but has instead come to rule our lives for us. We have become, as a people, like a frightened, battered, beat-down victim of an abusive relationship. A servile, unquestioning, obedient people will always produce tyrants. We must, as a nation, once again embrace defiance, rebellion, and resistance. Every day, more and more Americans are avoiding unenforceable taxes, leaving government jobs out of disgust, and sending their kids to college instead of combat. But our efforts as a movement must become unified and deliberate to fully withdraw our support and compliance. Be it with your lives, labor, or tax dollars, stop investing in your own oppression. Guard your communities from the police state. Don't waste a single vote or a single dollar on the two-party system. Do not be content merely to grumble and to march while they are using fear, force, and violence as weapons of oppression. We must embrace the opportunity to resist civilly while we still can. We are compelled to be here for many different reasons, and there is strength in our diversity. As within Iraq, Veterans Against the War and Veterans for Peace, we don't need to be uniform to be unified. Take a look at the thoughtful, passionate people that surround you on this field and throughout this country. Do not leave here today without meeting a new brother or sister in the struggle. Take with you the inspiration to share your passion with someone who does not know they are yet part of our movement. Seek out where you can be most effective in the cause of liberty. Challenge our force-fed culture of unquestioning conformity and compliance, and embrace a world that is not defined by the politics of fear, our obedience-producing schools, or the false prophets of the corporate media. As we have been awakened, we must stir the sleeping masses. As the forces of oppression are diligent, so must we toil. As they are committed, we must surpass them. As they step up their efforts, we must rise up to defeat them as a unified movement. We have been labeled rebels, traitors, enemies of the state. All terms King George would have used to vilify our founders. I, for one, will always rebel against oppression, a traitor only to tyranny, and I would be remiss to not make myself the enemy of a state that so blatantly tramples our freedoms. American values have been nearly vanquished by consumerism, militarism, and authoritarianism. Yellow ribbons and lapel pins will not save this country. When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. The utmost manifestation of love and devotion to America is today, as it always has been, resistance of tyranny. Resist we must, and resist we will. We will not be silent. We will not obey. We will not let our government destroy our humanity. We will not wait another moment in fear to stand up for what we know to be right. It is time we start meeting oppression with resistance. They cannot stop us. Humanity marches on. You can fight it or fight for it. When we say revolution, we say it with love. As we march onward from this place where we have pledged to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, let us embrace the struggle, cherish the fight, and live in that love. The passion of our hearts will be raised with our fists!
Now you get it. You start to understand. This is the real revolution. It's already started. You know, waiting on you now. Are you helping these guys? Are you part of what they're fighting against? If you think the enemy is somewhere else, you know, then they win. You know, they've accomplished what they wanted. They distracted you from they've distracted you from where the real problem is, and it's right here. And it takes a young man to go over and fight in Fallujah and see friends, you know, die around him, and to understand and to focus his attention on it. Now, you remember him saying, he goes, don't waste another minute or a dime on the two-party system. Well, he's announcing today on Judge Napolitano's show on Fox that he's going to be running as a Republican. He's endorsed by Ron Paul. Ron Paul did a letter of endorsement for him, and, you know, he spoke at the Campaign for Liberty events and a Restore the Republic, Rally for the Republic in Minneapolis, St. Paul. You know, here's a guy that's got the ear of the young. And he raised $25,000 in one day, just 4th of July. He's over $50,000, and traditionally you don't even start congressional races until after Labor Day or go. I mean, this is, and the talent that is behind all of these videos, all of the graphics, all of this talent that the these young people that are computer savvy and know how to communicate in the social networks and, you know all of these little bitty things about Twitter. He's getting his own iPhone application. Somebody designed this out of some guy out of Texas. Here's your own iPhone application. Boom. Yeah, anybody walk around with an iPhone, and it'll start going on the other devices, too. You know, you go around, boom, Kokesh, let me transmit this to you. Give the thing here. Take a look at issue stances on any and everything. And do you think the other campaigns will start doing the same thing? Yes, but it won't matter. Why? Because it's all about content. You know, it's like Fox News going all the flashies, you know, and all the blowing up and this and that and fast-paced and zooming in and out and all that. For what? You know, where's the content? You know, give me something that, you know, means something to me. They don't have it. You have an entire generation out here that's going to take their freedom back, whether you like it or not. You can help them. Now, they're not going to be advocating. No, Dr. Paul, I thought he was very compassionate when he was saying, look, man, you don't just cut the umbilical cord on dependence of the state. Made a lot of promises and so on. But how you tied these people over, you know, those of you that are dependent on, you know, the checks from the government that you were promising these programs. He goes, let me tell you how you tied them over. You stopped the empire expansion. You know, when you're digging a hole and you can't get out and it just you stop digging. You know, come back. You know, quit. Well, we'll have the links up to his archive of the show that he did today, and you can get some more information. We might even play it. If we can get it in time, we might even play it, but if not today, tomorrow. But I'm telling you, you know, the revolution is already underway. Waiting on you now.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here at the FreedomsPhoenix.com studios here in Phoenix, Arizona. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, getting to know each other. You know, I want to introduce you to the revolution. And I'm thinking you're getting a nice little dose. Next week we'll start bringing some people in, you know, in studio and start focusing on the issues and such. But I just wanted you to understand the gravity of really what's going on and the people involved and how we're working to, you know, freedom for ourselves. The only way that we can be free is if we advocate it and get it for everyone else in every form. Because once you start justifying down the dark road of some little controls, you know, then where does it stop? You've already given up the principle. It's just how much. You know, here this is a movement. Adam Kokesh's speech, he was talking about a movement. But, you know, he understands from, we've had a lot of conversations that you want to kill a movement, you know, try and control it. You know, you want to put a wooden stake through it, you know, just sit there and try and organize it and put a stamp on it and a logo and have meetings and, you know, board of directors and all that kind of thing. And you know what I'm talking about. Have you been involved in any kind of movement for more freedom? I mean, I think there's probably many organizations you've belonged to over the years. There's many groups that you've met with. There's many eat, meet, and retreat, you know, stuff. We have the Arizona Breakfast Club here. Now, and we've been doing that for, gosh, on 40 years. I inherited it from the gentleman that started it, Harry Everingham. We the People back in the day. He's very well known in the freedom movement. Probably a lot of you remember who he was. We were good friends. He died at 94 a couple of years ago, and I inherited the Arizona Breakfast Club, and he passed it on, this conservative God, family, country organization around the principles of the conservative, kind of this Goldwater conservative thing that they espoused, and it just, the entire philosophy that they espoused, the Republican Party and even the conservative movement just abandoned them. So who do they hand it off to? A libertarian. Imagine that. Why? Because, you know, first off, who else?
I mean, it's not just by default that we inherited such a quality organization. It was by the principles that we espouse. Now, what we did do is we opened it up and have, you know, a lot of people from the left come in and speak on their perspective and let them go at it. Go get them, man. You know, and then they found out where they overlapped, where they agreed on stuff, and you learned a lot about the people and what motivates them. Let's say you have Code Pink come and speak to you about anti-war. Now, their reasons and so on, and generally it comes down to, you know, the rise of the state, this big expansion. It's bad because look at all the money we could be spending on all our social problems. We put a gun to your head and take your money so we can do what we want to do with it. So, you know, as they come in and expose themselves to this, then you start to see the conservatives, oh, we want to take that money and do what we want to. We want to socially and economically engineer the people the way we want to. And then both going at each other, you'll have this libertarian influence just going, you guys hear yourself? I mean, you're just wanting to rob from each other to do what you want to do. Did it ever occur to you to stop the theft? You know, theft by government is still theft, regardless of what your noble cause is. You know, I mean, and you could pick just about any issue for that. So there is an entire new movement that has been going on for a long time that you haven't been hearing about. Now, how they start to control this, they start to worry about it. I promised I was going to talk about the NSA and their little 3D hologram kind of tracking thing, MIAC reports and all this kind of stuff. You know, we'll get to that when we come back, because I want to make sure we touch on that, because that's a very interesting, you know, perspective. And that's something that you need to know about, because it's a way of disseminate of understanding the information. You have all this movement out there. Well, how do you target? Who are the bad guys? You know, is there a head of the snake? Who we got to kill? You know, stop this thing. You know, it's been done before. How'd that work out for them? You know, it may have delayed stuff, but it builds up.